Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They have a new climate exhibit because it is the 24 hours of reality event that has been happening for the last 24 hours. It ends this evening. So come on out and visit the exhibit and come on out to the free forum that begins at 6 o'clock tonight. It's a community event. It's free here at the Science Museum in St. Paul, and there is a panel discussion happening this
evening. A youth
evening.
Panel, raising our voices in the climate conversation at 6:30. I'm continually amazed and impressed by how young people are leading the charge. A giant global outcry of enough already, let's get serious about solutions. Emma McCarthy is here, and Freya Ebbeson are here. You're a junior?
Yes, I am, at Open World Learning.
Wonderful. Now, tell us, why are you fired up about this? What do you want listeners at home to know?
And this is Emma speaking.
Yes, Emma.
Well, I truly believe that the science shows us that climate change is an existential threat. And it uniquely affects our generation, I think. We're kind of watching our world fall apart. And I personally believe that we cannot sit by and do nothing.
So what are you doing, Emma? What are you in your life? And I understand you're on this panel, but, you know, I agree with you, honey. We can't let the world fall apart. And I'm sorry that we screwed it up for you. But what are you doing in your personal life to stop it?
Yeah. So the biggest thing I'm working on right now is organizing a group of students from my school to take part in the youth climate strike on December 6th. But other than that, I co-founded an intersectional feminist climate change organization called Climate Queens that works on amplifying female-identifying people's and non-binary people's voices in the climate movement. I'm also involved in some of the youth speaks parts of the upcoming Minnesota Environmental Congress, as well as a few other things.
Wow, good for you, girl.
So, Emma, what advice would you have to other young people who may be listening right now, and their parents or even their grandparents about this? Why should they be paying attention?
Yeah, well, as I said earlier, it is an existential threat, and we need to take action. So really my advice is to do more than just pay attention. It's to really, start attending protests, get involved in your local environmental justice groups, call your legislators and tell them that you are demanding climate action now.
Fair enough. Emma, thank you.
Yes.
Thank
Freya,
you.
Why don't you pass over the microphone
yep.
to Freya?
Yes.
Now we're speaking with Freya Ebbeson, who's also a junior at St. Paul's Open World Learning Community, and you're also on the panel tonight.
Yes, I am.
That's right. So I'm always curious. My kids are about your age, and I'm always, and they are very concerned about climate change and what world that the older generation is leaving to them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we try to take action at home. What are you doing? Just like I asked Emma, what are you doing? I understand that you're an activist and you're organizing, but in your everyday life, I mean, are you composting? Are you thinking actively about not turning on the lights? Because these are little things that we can do in our home. And I just want to know what you guys are doing so you can give advice to folks out there.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I eat less red meat. I'm vegetarian. Reducing the single use plastic that I use in my everyday life. And those little things are really important. But I think what's really truly going to make a change is, overthrow kind of the system, right? Like systematic change is really what's going to make a difference in the climate justice movement. So like what Emma said, like going to protests and calling your representatives and voting, are really the big things that are going to, help us face the impending climate disaster.
Because I think a lot of older people say, well, you know what? Fossil fuels got us to where we are today. We wouldn't have the success, the standard of living, and And a lot of, and I run into these people all the time. How can you bite the hand that feeds? You know, coal, oil, gas got us to where we are. And and many of these people acknowledge that it's dirty and it's not sustainable, but they say, look, we need to be careful. We need to be methodical, turn down the volume on fossil fuels while we turn up clean renewables. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say it's important to look at the types of people that are saying that. So for many people, right, it's people in positions of privilege. It has benefited them, right? You know, it's created better, you know, technology and whatever in the maybe the first world country that we live in. But there are, you know, countries all across the world and people actually here as well that are being hurt and have always been hurt by these systems.
Because it's the poor and the underserved
correct.
That are most affected by climate change.
Yes.
They're living in coastal regions. Is that
living near
saying?
Sea level, yeah. mm-hmm. living near rivers, more prone yeah. to flooding, more prone to extreme heat and heat indices or wildfires
correct.
In the West.
Yeah.
So because, you know, a lot of people go through life. And again, I encounter this all the time. It's like, well, Paul, I don't see the effects. You know, we seem to be getting more flooding. OK, yeah, I feel bad for farmers. They're having a tough time. It seems like more years are wet. They're having trouble harvesting their crops. But it's amazing how many times it's easy to put blinders on mm-hmm. and kind of see what you want to see and maybe not see what's happening elsewhere in the country and elsewhere around the world. But it seems like younger people are more dialed in. And this is not, correct me if I'm wrong, as big a it's not an ideological litmus test. In other words, you have young people who may lean conservative in their mm-hmm. politics, and they seem to be just as fired up and just as concerned about finding solutions as people with maybe a more liberal ideology.
Yeah, so I think that as we're kind of watching all of these changes happen in our world and in our climate, we're truly, you know, terrified. And I think that is kind of what helps to bridge those party lines is we all can kind of realize this.
You should be pissed.
Yeah. I mean, we are.
Your parents and grandparents have been debating the science when we should have been debating policy.
Mm-hmm.
And
what would you girls, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
off. No, it's fine.
But what would you girls, what do you want government to do? What specifically, just so I can wrap my brain around it and join you in protest, what governmental policies would you like to see change?
Like a carbon tax, fee and dividend, do you do favor?
I asked the girls.
I know, no,
you,
I'm just.
Paul
I know.
Douglas, smartest guy in the room all
no,
the
I'm
time.
No, I'm not. No. I can't hold a candle to these two. Are you kidding? I can't keep
I'm
up.
I'm kidding.
What would you like to see happen?
Broadly, I personally believe that we need to pass a Green New Deal, but if we're thinking more in terms of Minnesota, we need to permanently stop working on Line 3. Freya, do you?
Yeah, and I mean, another smaller thing that I actually recently learned about is the idling of police cars in predominantly African-American neighborhoods, which is something that you really don't see or think about huh. a lot, but it happens way more in communities of color. So that's a small thing that's happening now in Minnesota that I think we should try to work to change.
I'd never heard of that before.
I hadn't thought of that. But
that is fascinating. And you know where that happens? Also on the preschool pickup line or the pickup line at kids' schools. I mean, I used to do that. I used to pick them up, and I would think we're sitting in our cars here, 15, 20 minutes, all of these cars in a lineup. Mm-hmm. Some schools have shut that down. You're not allowed to idle anymore.
This is going to be a cheap plug for BMW,
oh,
but the car that I'm driving right now, uh-huh. the X3, shuts off automatically
yep.
when
yep.
and a lot of vehicles do that now.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes sense. But mm-hmm. it's sort of death by a thousand cuts, but there seems to be a lot of low-hanging fruit.
That's easy. We can
right?
do that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things that that we aren't just shining a light on. And I think if we are trying to listen more to people in these communities, the people that are really being affected by climate change today, I think there are a lot of changes that we could actually make here.
Can I go back to something you said before? I'm asking Emma now. You mentioned that you are the leader of a group that's intersectional, non-binary. It was open and free to all.
Yeah.
Is climate change somehow becoming some kind of non-inclusive fight that you had to say this is this kind of group that I'm having? Like, isn't everybody really upset? And we all should be fighting together, or do we need to identify who's in the group?
Yeah, so I would agree that everyone is really upset, but the difference is who has a voice in the movement. And that really tends to be men, male-identifying people, and white people more than anyone else. So it is important to make a special space for people who don't always have been given as much of a voice or have had the space to use their voice in the movement.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to know.
That was a very good question. This is going to be an existential question here. Can democracy specifically...
It's only a three-hour show, Paul.
Can capitalism, can a market economy, one that encourages consumerism, the more you buy, the happier you're going to be, but the more you're also contributing to the problem. Do you think capitalism as it exists today can cope with this? Can the markets come up with the clean, green solutions fast enough to avoid a worst-case scenario?
Good question.
Personally, I do not believe that capitalism as we have it today can cope with this issue. I think if we look back, capitalism has usually only benefited certain groups of people, and it always puts profit over people. And this problem, this crisis that we face, isn't one that's going to make us money. We need to put people first. And personally, I do not believe that capitalism does that.
Sir Richard Branson said that climate change is the greatest wealth creation tool that has ever been, that the size of the threat is commensurate with the size of the opportunity, and that a lot of people will make money coming up with cleaner ways to create energy or ways to just be more resilient, flood-proofing, drought-proofing, heat-proofing, that companies will benefit and consumers will benefit from those solutions. So I'm just curious to get your take on that.
Yeah, that's interesting. One thing I actually learned just the other day is that since 1960, climate change has accelerated growth in already wealthy countries, but has actually held back growth in poorer countries. So again, that's true for some people, but not true for others. And I think we have to be careful about greenwashing, which is this idea that companies sell you something and tell you that it's green, but if you look at the hidden costs, it's actually very bad for the environment.
You young women are amazing.
Thank you
for joining us. Emma McCarthy and Freya Ebsen, both juniors at St. Paul's Open World Learning Community. You can come and hear them for free tonight. They are speaking on the panel at the Community Forum here at the Science Museum at 6:30.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.